Chapter 36. In exchange for some intentionally vague promises, Tim had managed to score himself two big bags full of Arby's roast beef sandwiches and curly fries. He'd even pilfered a bottle of ketchup and a bottle of Arby's sauce from off a tabletop. He was out of booze and out of money, but otherwise feeling pretty good. His head beginning to clear, he thought about what Randy and Dave had told him in the car on the way to the Beauregard Casino, and what Cooper had told him in the bar two nights ago. There was no point denying it anymore. Tim was a fuck-up, and the only person who could change that was him. He'd start off with a peace offering of roast beef sandwiches and curly fries to the people of the Horse Head Inn. They were a forgiving bunch, and nobody could resist Arby's. The streets were damn near deserted as Tim hugged his two Arby's bags and walked briskly toward the collapsed sewer district. Approaching from the rear, Tim first noticed that the trunk of the piss tree was bone dry.
Nobody thought to water you today? Hang in there, buddy. I'll be back before you know it.
The next thing he noticed was how quiet the Horse Head Inn was. No low murmur of conversation, no clink of glasses, nothing. It was eerily quiet, as if everyone was waiting for Tim to step inside before they shouted, "Surprise!" or "Murdered him!" or something. He briefly considered arming himself, but decided against it. This was a peace offering, after all.
"Hello?"
he called inside. There was no answer. That was weird. This place was never empty.
"Don't kill me! I've got Arby's!"
He stepped in through the gap in the wall, not another living soul in sight.
Where the fuck is everybody?
It was getting late in the evening, when everyone was usually coming back from their various assigned tasks and money-making jobs. This place should be hopping right now. Judging by some strewn articles of clothing, upturned supply crates, and the amount of unfinished beer glasses on the tables, Tim guessed there'd been a sudden evacuation sometime in the early afternoon. But what could have prompted that? Unless...
Those motherfuckers! They did it!
Tim was both giddy and nervous at the same time. He calmed his nerves with the aid of an unattended glass of beer. He tried to think of other possible explanations for everyone to just up and leave the Horse Head Inn all at once, but couldn't come up with any. There was only one possible explanation. They'd found Mordred and forced him to send them home. A wave of panic washed over Tim as he munched on a curly fry. Had he missed the bus? Had he gotten left behind? He shook the thought out of his head. They wouldn't do that to him. He'd been kind of an asshole lately, but not that big of an asshole. They were good people. They would have thought up some kind of contingency plan for those who weren't currently at the inn. And that's another thing. He wasn't the only one who wasn't here when everyone left. He knew for a fact that Cooper wasn't in the city, and Dave, Julian, and Stacy were out on some fishing trip. Even if they'd leave Tim behind, they wouldn't leave Julian and Stacy. Everybody liked Julian and Stacy. All he had to do was hang around and wait for the next bus. Tim couldn't wait to meet Stacy again on the other side. The first things he'd do when he got back would be shave, take a shower, and put on some nice clothes. Not too nice, keep it casual. He'd ask her to... the Olive Garden, perfect. The one in D'Iberville. Casual, ironic, and it wouldn't put her on the spot about it being a date. It would just be two friends sharing a meal and a common memory after coming through a...
What the fuck was that?
Tim scooted his chair back, wooden chair leg scraping against wooden floor. The same as the sound he'd just heard, but it was coming from the cellar. It appeared that he wasn't here alone after all. Tim armed himself with a dagger in one hand and a roast beef sandwich in the other, giving him some options as to how he could face whoever was in the cellar. As quietly as he could, he tiptoed to the cellar door and pulled it open slowly. He didn't know why he was bothering to be so quiet, as he knew all along what his next move was going to be.
Hello?
There was no answer, except for more frantic scooting of chair legs on the floor. Were there more than one person down there? Maybe a poker game? Why weren't they answering him?
Who's down there?
Still no answer, just more scooting. That was weird. Tim abandoned his original intention to keep his dagger hidden until he knew he needed it, and held it out in front of him. He kept the roast beef sandwich ready and held out hope that he'd be able to offer that instead.
I'm coming down there,
Tim called down the stairs.
And I'm prepared to defend myself.
He focused entirely on his move silently skill. Whoever was down there knew he was coming. Announcing that, in retrospect, had possibly been an error in judgment, but he could still get the jump on them if they didn't know exactly when he was going to show himself. As Tim crept slowly down the stairs, he imagined he'd get a bonus modifier to his move silently check because the continued scooting of chairs on the floor would help to mask what little sound he was making. Maybe it would be better to hold his dagger by the blade, ready to throw it. He might be able to get in a sneak attack from a distance. No, that was a stupid idea. If whatever was down there was hostile, and he didn't kill it with that first strike, he'd be armed with nothing but a roast beef sandwich. Then again, the crate where they kept the daggers was pretty close to the bottom of the staircase. Jump, throw, roll, grab another weapon. Tim grinned to himself. Some Rambo James Bond shit was about to go down. He twirled the dagger in his fingers until he was holding it by the blade. At the bottom of the stairs, Tim took deep breaths to steady his nerves. 3, 2...
Surprise, motherfucker!
Tim jumped out into the open, spotted a target, and let his dagger fly. A halfling, bound to a chair and gagged, stared back at him in wide-eyed terror as the dagger thudded into the wall right next to his head.
Unfucking believable, said Tim. I missed a stationary target? Hang on, who the fuck are you?
As far as good times to make shitty attack rolls go, this was probably one of the best. He might have killed that poor little fucker, who looked like he was already having a pretty rough day. As Tim looked around, he noticed another gaping flaw in his plan. The crates full of weapons were all gone. The cellar was empty, except for the captive halfling and the big wooden dildo stake.
I'm sorry, dude, said Tim. He pulled his dagger out of the wall. Stop squirming so I can help you.
The halfling sat rigidly still as Tim cut the bandana tied around his head, then spat out a second wad of fabric that had been stuffed into his mouth.
Thank you!
What are you doing down here? Who did this to you?
I was taken prisoner by a female dwarf!
Dennis, said Tim. That fucking douche!
He looked down at the dildo on the floor.
Did he, I mean she, touch you?
Touch me? Said the halfling. She did a lot more than that!
Tim held up his hands.
Oh, Jesus, stop! I don't even want to know!
The story began to play out in his mind. Everybody goes home, but Dennis chooses to stay. He can do whatever the fuck he wants in this world, more or less free of consequences. As soon as they're all gone, he wastes no time setting up his own little gimp cellar. Motherfucker was probably out there right now, trying to kidnap another halfling or, worse, an actual child for his collection. That sick, sadistic fuck.
Please let me out of here before she comes back!
You bet.
Tim started cutting away at the ropes.
You get as far away from here as you can. I'll take care of that dwarf bitch. You'll never have to worry about her again.
The grateful halfling stretched out his limbs and massaged his wrists.
Thanks, Tim.
Don't mention it, said Tim.
He held up his roast beef sandwich.
Do you want a sandwich?
The halfling stared perplexedly at the sandwich. Tim grinned. Of course this poor bastard didn't recognize it. He probably didn't even know what a sandwich was. The tinfoil wrapper surely didn't make it any clearer. He unwrapped the sandwich and offered it again.
It's food. You eat it. Delicious. Yum yum.
Where did you?
The halfling's growling stomach stopped his train of half-asked questions.
Thank you.
He took the sandwich and ripped away a quarter of it with one bite.
Pretty good, huh?
Delicious,
said the halfling.
Yum yum.
He took another bite.
I've got some curly fries upstairs if you want to try those as well.
The halfling looked down at the chair and dildo.
I really should be going. This has all been very traumatic.
I understand. You take care of yourself. I'm really sorry this happened.
Tim escorted the halfling up the stairs and out of the building through the gap in the wall. He was kind of a hero. He just rescued another person from a life of captivity and abuse from a sick asshole. The only feeling more satisfying than that would be seeing the look on that nutless fucker's face when he came back and found his gimp had been set free. The only question left then would be whether he should just kill her straight away or get medieval on her ass. Tim didn't think long on that one. He didn't have the stomach for torture. He'd just straight up kill her. This was the first step in Tim turning his life around, and it felt good. He helped himself to another abandoned beer and a roast beef sandwich.